Welcome and good morning. You are listening to WDRT Show Conversations. I enjoy the opportunity to bring you people and activities that are making a difference. My name is Dina Eccles, and my guest today is currently engaged as a digital organizer with Wisdom Wisconsin and Racine Interfaith Coalition, specifically devoting her time to immigration and immigrant rights. My guest is Amanda Ali. She's a second-generation immigrant and a Palestinian Muslim American. She is a 2016 graduate of UW-Madison, and her strong background in human development and family studies adds to her deep passion for engaging diverse communities and managing impactful social initiatives. I've participated in some of the conference calls Amanda has led, and I've been very impressed with her skills and her defiant kindness. Welcome, Amanda.
Thank you. That's so nice of you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great. This is such an important time. So I just want to begin right away. Could you just tell us what a digital organizer is in case there are people listening who've never heard that phrase?
Yeah, certainly. I think that's a relatively new term and a new type of organizing. I discovered it early on into the pandemic. I attended some trainings with some organizations that were teaching about digital organizing, and it's essentially a tool to use online methods to connect community using social media platforms. You know, back in the pandemic, there was a lot of people that were chronically online using Zoom, and social media like TikTok really like jumped out in during that time. And I was part of developing a Facebook group called Wisconsin Youth and Student Power. It grew to over 500 members, and it was a space to cultivate a youth and student activist community for anyone that wanted to advocate on social justice issues across the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's great and so needed. And as you're speaking, you know, I realized they talk a lot about how younger people don't really communicate much with one another except through, you know, devices. But how, you know, but so important, you know, this is community, you know, even being able to talk to you today and bringing your voice to the larger community here. It's so important. So thank you for taking time to learn all those things.
Yeah, of course.
So as a family of with immigrant status and your reality as a Palestinian Muslim, you have a particularly rich background to understand the struggle of immigrant people, I think.
I would like to think so, yeah, definitely. My family immigrated, you know, early 90s, and they came here for a better opportunity to attend school. They eventually owned businesses. Their children started attending school, going off to college. And, you know, they're very responsible, contributing members to society. And I know firsthand, based on that experience, you know, especially even for me, I think about where would I have been today had I maybe not been born and raised in Wisconsin and had the opportunities that have come my way. If I was born in Palestine, or my family eventually went to Kuwait, from Kuwait they were in Jordan, you know, they're all over, and eventually they established their lives in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think of my own family, my own situation. I'm a lot older than you, and my mother was born here, but her mother, Italian, left, you know, as a teenager, left Italy because, you know, of the conditions in Italy. People had to leave and come here. And I think a lot of times people forget their immigrant roots, you know, and everything you're saying, it's like, yeah. Well, in fact, I can say that at that time, Italians were not well received. And I remember a lot of the things that were said about my family, you know, of origin that way, spaghetti benders and all kinds of like disparaging things, you know, were said and done. And in even, anyway, I don't want to get into that, but I think it's really important if people can remember their roots. So I think the fact that you have that is just really, really helpful as you do your work. It makes you more caring, I guess, for lack of better words.
Thank you. Mm. Yeah. I definitely, the people that I come across, you know, first and foremost, I know, you know, part of their identity is an immigrant, and maybe other parts of their work that they do, that they contribute. But then I also see them as a human too.
Right. That's so important. That's why I'm talking to you, because that's what I've heard, as mm-hmm. as I've, you know, had contact with you. And so there's been this uptick in vitriol against immigrants, and we've had this happen in this country through the years, but it's particularly vile now, I think. And the current actions, or what we're being warned about of the current actions of ICE, have had to have made your work a little bit harder.
Yeah, definitely it has. It's really sad to see, you know, there's a lot of xenophobia and hatred and racism happening in our community against immigrants. There's high moment times in the pandemic that was happening to certain communities, to the Muslim community, it is very common that it happens. I would say there's also fear and in the immigrant communities due to the uptick of surveillance from law enforcement or potentially ICE as well. And it's made people fearful, and it's been having people react quickly online is what I've been noticing. Mm-hmm. So they react quickly, and they sometimes amplify misinformation or false information. It recently happened with us in Racine Interfaith Coalition, actually. About a week or two ago, we were informed of a potential raid that had happened in the Racine community, and it turned out that it was just an inspection. And so after we had put out that information online, we felt that it was our due diligence right away to update it. Not only was it contributing to the fear in the immigrant community, but we started getting some really nasty comments from people. And it was like a responsibility of us as a community organization working on this to be credible and be accountable to what we put out there and correct our mistake.
Mm. Yeah, wow, what a tightrope you're walking. Because, you know, there is so much fear, and there's legitimate fear. It's not like this hasn't happened before. Even in recent times, there have been, quote-unquote, mass deportations, you know? And so their fear is legitimate, but
yeah.
I hear what you're saying, and to have to be accountable to everything you say is really significant, you know? Honor the work you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
But it is a lot to take in. I think people need to be aware of that fear. These are our neighbors. They're our friends. They're people maybe we've known. Maybe we didn't know their status. But, you know, we've encountered them. They're in our community. And as you say, they're contributing members of our communities. And to know that that ripple of fear, I would love people to think about it from their own personal perspective. What if this was occurring to them? What if they had to wonder if they would see their children at the end of the school day?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I think people need to lead with empathy and try to put themselves in someone else's shoes. It very well could have been you, or maybe there's something in your own history of you coming to America and after generations establishing your life here. And, you know, for some people it's a lot harder, and we shouldn't be so quick to judge on their experiences. Instead, maybe we should sit with them and try to have those one-on-one conversations and learn about them, learn about their story, learn about their family and their culture. I think that can help people understand and, you know, combat this misinformation that we're seeing on social media, we're seeing on mainstream media. You know, we're seeing a lot of these negative terms towards Muslims. I've experienced it myself, called names just as recently as last week, being attacked online. And I think if people just took a step back and was like, well, who is this person really? What are they about? And asked those questions and sat down and talked with them, they'd understand a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is what I keep trying to do. I feel very fortunate that I have this avenue that I can allow different voices to be heard. And hopefully, you know, it may just hit that one ear, you know, who've been people who, because I think people have to be questioning at this point. Is this the road we really want to go down? You know, I mean, especially with all the news of today, you know, with the possible tariffs, the possible increases in our, in the cost of living because of these tariffs that are going to be seemingly imposed. And then the possibility of losing vital workers, vital workforce.
Yeah, definitely. That's one of the projects that we're working on within Wisdom. You know, there is a pretty big immigrant community in Wisconsin that are supporting our dairy CAFOs, supporting meat packing. You know, this is Wisconsin's America's dairy lands, for one, you know. And if it's not for these workers, you know, the whole industry could kind of collapse. There's a lot, if you sit down and you talk to a farmer and you understood the ins and outs of it too, it's very important to show up to work every day and milk those cows 3 times a day. And I think if people really understood that too, that they're very hardworking, they show up, they're just, you know, the same values as us. They care about family. They care about sending their children to school and having better opportunities for their family.
Yeah. This is, so this is one of the things that Wisdom does work on, right? You're reaching out to the employers of these of the migrants, right?
Yes, we are doing that. And I would say, you know, it's a measure to protect their employees, but also it's in their self-interest to protect them and their businesses and their farms and the animals. Mm. So really, this is a measure for everyone. And right now we have a project going on in about 100 dairy CAFOs, Northeast Wisconsin. And we hope to expand it out a bit further based on how that goes and the feedback that we get.
So if people are listening today, they can reach out to you, and we'll give that information later on. But if they wanted to help, because we're rural and there are CAFOs here and there are meatpacking plants, and there might be people who would be willing to be an emissary, that would be great.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So you also do Know Your Rights trainings.
Yes, we do, actually. And a little bit about Wisdom that I can tell you is we're 13 affiliates. I mentioned Racine. We have a local affiliate in Racine known as Racine Interfaith Coalition, which is also an affiliate that I work for. But we're all over the state. You know, we're from Racine all the way to Green Bay. We have chapters in Eau Claire, Milwaukee, Waukesha, all over. And we even have a chapter known as FREE, which is a group that works with formerly and currently incarcerated women.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so we work on many issues. Immigration is one of them. And of course, you invited me on here because I am digital and immigration organizer. But we do transformational justice work. Mm-hmm. We do environmental justice work. We do any work that is impacting the community. And in Racine, we have expanded these Know Your Rights trainings. So far, we've done about five. We've gone to various different places. We went to schools in Racine. We went to congregations. And it's really been successful. We try to go with English and Spanish interpretation. And we go and we educate the members about their rights. We hand out materials. We talk to them. We share stories. And we kind of go on our day. But really, it's more an informative thing mm-hmm. that we're providing to the community.
Right. It's really important because I didn't know until I started reading some of your material, you know, the basic rights that are mm-hmm. constitutionally provided for every person that's in this country. The right to refuse to be searched unless there's some kind of paperwork, right? I mean, it's like you don't yeah. have to, you can say I need a lawyer or I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, that's actually what we recommend, and we're distributing hundreds and hundreds of, we call them red cards, Know Your Right cards. They're mm-hmm. basically wallet size. And it you can fill in your lawyer or your nonprofit's information, because in a high stress situation like that, you might forget some things, and especially if English is not your first language and you're under high stress, or maybe there are younger children in the home or something, you can have something right at your door or in your car to say, you know, I want to remain silent, I want my lawyer. And it can be in your language as well. There's mm-hmm. many different languages that we provide. And I think that it's just a very useful tool to have on hand.
Yes. Now, what kind of languages do you have them in?
We have them in Spanish, Punjabi, Arabic, Hmong, and many others. Mm-hmm. We got them from organization's website online, and it's been really good resource for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are many organizations working together now and providing Know Your Rights training, but I'm really glad that you're mentioning this. And I've heard recently that there have been Native people who've been stopped by ICE, and you know they're asking Native people now to make sure you're carrying your card. So it's like it's clearly being profiled. People are being yeah. profiled. And that's why I asked you how many different languages you share. It's not just your Hispanic neighbor. There are many people being profiled right now.
Yeah.
It's very, so inhuman from my perspective anyway.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So what other trainings are you offering?
We actually have a pretty exciting training happening in February. We have our statewide immigration meetings typically monthly, the second Monday of each month. But in February, we're opting to do a training held by an organization called Safety Bound. And they primarily do work around stopping mass deportations through local sheriffs. Now, this is really important because in Wisconsin, there are 8 counties that have 287G agreements, which is an agreement of cooperation between ICE and local law enforcement. And after we started discovering this and how there was an increase in these agreements happening in Wisconsin, we felt this could be the way that we're impactful. Right. This is how we can potentially stop these mass deportations of meeting with our sheriffs, mm-hmm. knowing what these agreements are about, doing our research, organizing people together to have community power. Mm-hmm. And so we're really like grateful to have the tools and resources of Safety Bound. We have a really great interest in doing this type of organizing and having these conversations. Mm. And people are going to be attending that training. It's going to be February 10 at 6:30.
Right, I've signed up.
Great.
You know, the other thing about that is that's so important too is because you don't want people to fear their local police.
Mm-hmm.
If they know that the police are for the entire community, then if something does happen where they do need to have the police, they're not afraid. So it's so important, this understanding, to separate ICE from the local police community. I'm really glad you're doing the training. I look forward to it. And in case you're just tuning in, you are listening to WDRT Show Conversations, and I'm speaking with Amanda Ali, who is from Wisdom, Wisconsin, and the Racine Interfaith Coalition. And we're talking about the current status of immigrants, immigrant rights, and the wonderful things that Wisdom, Wisconsin is doing to help our neighbors at this time where there's such an increased fear. Okay, so let's go back to the trainings you're offering in that one that you're offering February 10th. People can find that information by going to wisdomwisconsin.org or .com.org?
It's actually .org, yeah. Okay. And if they go to our event calendar, we're going to have most of our events there. Also, again, we're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as Wisdom Wisconsin.
Right, because you're the digital coordinator. So you're making sure all of this is happening. Well, that's great. I'm really excited. And I know that it's possible. I know the closest Wisdom affiliate is right now is in Eau Claire, I believe, to our area. We're here in Viroqua area. But I understand that there might be a Driftless Wisdom coming to us.
Yes. There are so many people in the last couple of months that have been so interested in developing a small Wisdom chapter, a small group, and we're so open to that. Mm-hmm. We have a group that's sort of developing. It's like Watertown right now, the area, and I think that's like really nice to see that people are trying to gather like-minded individuals, mm-hmm. especially in these rural areas. Sometimes it might seem, you know, far in between of people that are like-minded with you, care about social justice issues, and coming together to have these conversations. I think that's really great.
Yeah, and it's the human issue. I think just to break down those stereotypes of blue and red and all that kind of stuff and, you know, just be human beings. You mentioned one of the organizations that's involved with Wisdom, and I've enjoyed some of their work as well. It's Free, F-R-E-E.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that they are women who've been previously incarcerated and coming together to support one another and women in general. I think they're doing great work. And I know they have some offerings as well. So I just wanted to give them a shout
really
out.
Really important. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Yeah, no, good stuff that they're doing. They're doing some gatherings that people can get to online, and I haven't gotten to listen yet, you know, because part of me was like, but I've never been incarcerated yet. but they say, you know, allies or people who would like to know more, they're very welcoming, and it's so important that we hear one another, that we take time to learn about one another, because this fear mongering that has been introduced. There's always been that other, treating people as other, but this new level of hatred is very different. You know, it's very in the open. And I think it's time for the people, and I think there's a lot more of us than of the people who are hate-filled. The people who really recognize the importance of our humanity and our commonality, the things that we all share. Like you were saying earlier, you know, everybody cares about their children. Everybody wants a good education for their children. And, you know, food on the table, basic things.
Yeah.
You know, people aren't looking to, you know, it's just not the way. And anyway, I just, I just wanted to give you a shout out, your organization. I really have, and I'm not a person who declares a faith. I'm not, and I'm okay to say that. And I always say, you know, if people are trying to encourage me towards a particular faith, I say, look, I have a really great relationship with my Creator, you know. Yeah. But at the same time, I have been so impressed with Wisdom and their social justice activity that I'm really happy to be a part in any way I can be.
Yeah, I've met so many amazing people within Wisdom and Racine Interfaith Coalition. I think it just people of all different faith backgrounds and working on the same issues, having the same values. It's great to be part of that community. It gives you a little bit hope in these bleak times sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And we do need that. Okay, so what's the hardest part of your job?
I would say the changing landscape, you know, day to day, there's so many new things. I think with the political landscape, we have to navigate day in and day out things being thrown at us, you know, left and right sometimes, especially in this last month, I would say. It's becoming very challenging to keep up with everything, especially as a digital organizer and how social media has been these last couple years. I think it leads to information overloads, mm-hmm. and it leads to burnout and stress. Mm-hmm. Particularly in the community organizing community, mm-hmm. like this type of a role, people get very stressed out. You know, while there is passion and all of that there's so many things coming at you that sometimes you feel like you can't really keep up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to take care of your core.
Yeah.
You know, I feel that a lot because I know I stayed up a lot later last night diving into a lot of things that are occurring on a federal level and knowing, you know, you start to see the trajectory of where things are going and who will be impacted. And it's hard, you know, it's hard. You're just like, wait a minute, you know, keep coming back to Rodney King when he just said, can't we all get along? It's like, why? Why do we have to be so cruel? So yes, for those of us who are unafraid to face these things straight on, we have to take care of ourselves. We have to find ways to just take care, to love ourselves and have that same respect that we want to see on the outside. We have to have it for ourselves as well in whatever way we can. Mm-hmm. You know, resting, make sure you're resting. And I was glad when I asked you what's the hardest part of your job that you didn't say talking to you on the radio.
I definitely yes, you do. You make conversations very easy. I'm really glad to have met you, and I appreciate you inviting me on to share my story and share about my work. And I, like you said, I think it's really important to take care of yourself, to kind of step back when it does become a bit much. If you're tired or the information you're seeing online becomes too much, just go out, go for a walk, go do the things you like. For me, I love cooking. I love watching TV and talking with my family, sitting on FaceTime with my sisters and my nephews. So those are the things that bring me joy.
Right. And I go to see my sheep. Or lately I've been really working on the apple orchard. I'm on my orchard and I love that. And I, you know, taking away the dead parts of the tree and I think, you know, this is just to keep things clean and so that they're robust when the spring comes. And you know, there's so much we can do. We have to maintain our consciousness. We just have to. And I think this is a turning that maybe needed to happen, and we're being forced to it. It's unfortunate, but it's a turn towards our humanity again, away from labels, you know, just as human beings. Yeah. And the labels are there. I mean, it's like, and we should, I'm going to say it, celebrate diversity.
Mm-hmm.
celebrate diversity. Don't scorn diversity. I mean, where would you be without the incredible foods from all over the world, I mean, that we get to have, you know. I can only eat so many hot dogs and hamburgers.
Yeah. Have you ever tried a Palestinian dish? Have
oh,
you tried
yes.
Maklube?
Oh, yes. You know, I love all food. There's something... In fact, we've come down to Milwaukee and gone shopping in some of the stores, the Palestinian stores there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have... Actually, there's a family here... a good friend. I interviewed him, and we had he actually sponsored a meal for Eid. Am I saying that right? Eid?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and it was so beautiful. They had the tapestries, the tajik, how do you say it? The embroidery.
Oh, tatris.
Yeah, thank you.
I knew.
I wasn't saying it. Yeah, they had a lot of that, and it was wonderful. I love people, and in this past year, I saw that you were part of the Wisconsin Milwaukee Muslim Women's Coalition. You worked for them.
Yeah, I did work for them a couple years ago, and actually, that was one of my first jobs in community work. It's a center in Milwaukee area in Greenfield, mm-hmm. that has actually a Muslim women board, and predominantly most of their staff as well, and they provide education about the Muslim community to mm-hmm. to just the broader community. They've had so many different projects that have come out of their organization. It's been really, really nice to see over the years. They have now Wisconsin Muslim Civic Alliance, which is one of the first Muslim political organizations in Wisconsin doing civic engagement work. They have an initiative, Our Peaceful Home, which is to provide and educate for people that have been experiencing family or domestic violence. They even have the Wisconsin Muslim Journal, which is mm-hmm. Wisconsin's first media publication. Mm-hmm. And I think all of it is just going to help shift the narrative mm-hmm. on the Muslim community. When you're interacting and you're learning about these different projects that they have, you're reading that online publication of these positive stories of Muslims in the community, it goes to the flip side of what we typically see.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with you. And the reason I brought that up when I saw that you had been, you know, had worked with them, my organization, the Echo Valley Hope, has been part of the Wisconsin Coalition for Justice in Palestine, and mm-hmm. I've actually there. Janan Najib, I've had her here on Conversations as well during this past year. And I would encourage people to go back through the archives and listen to Janan. That was a pretty powerful telling of what's happening in Palestine right now. And
yeah,
she's been amazing.
Yeah, she really is amazing.
Yeah, it's been a real pleasure to work with her. I've learned a lot. And I actually got to write a piece for the media that you that you talked about. Yeah, it was. They titled it "Peace Activist Bridging the Divide in Rural Wisconsin." I was really proud of that.
I love that.
Yeah, I was really. Proud
I love
of that.
That. I'm gonna have to go back and read that.
Yeah, tell me if you liked it. No, anyway. So important. It's so important that we get to know one another, and food, as we were saying, is one of the best ways that we share. I want to do this again. I want to have another, get my friends together and just share food. It's harder out here, you know. People have to travel longer distances to be together.
Mm-hmm.
It's and I've told Janan, I've said, come on out. We're gonna have. Let's do something. So maybe we'll get that going. Maybe when Wisdom is starting its branch here, we'll be able to do more. But that is so important, you know. Give people a chance to know each other. Anyway, this is good. I'm really glad that you were able to do this today.
Thank you.
Yeah. So how has the reception been? How is it going? Are they signing up for the trainings, and how's it going?
Yeah, there's been great interest in the trainings that we're providing. You know, the one that I mentioned earlier about stopping mass deportations, we have over, last time I checked, 130 people registered.
Wow.
I think there's a lot of engagement. A lot of people are showing up to these statewide immigration meetings, being very curious and leaning in and trying to tap into what they can do. So many different organizations and individuals are showing up, and I think that's really nice to see the communities coming together. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, there's always the concern of it might dip out, you know, people, there's certain waves, people come in, but that's just the nature of our work. And I think if we provide really concrete things for them to do or to get invested in, then they will stay on and keep doing this work. And the more people we have doing it across the state, the more power we have.
Yes, definitely. And it feels better. You know,
yeah.
It's like, I can't even imagine being, you know, a member of ICE and having to do things. I mean, you could look back in history. This is not new that people have been in a little bit cruel. I mean, there's ways of doing things. You know, there are people who maybe are criminals and you want to curtail them in some way, do something. Okay, I get that. But how we treat one another, that's the question. And then how do you live with yourself? You got to be, I mean, you have to have those moments. Then you're going to go home and be with your children.
Yeah.
How do you do that, you know?
Yeah, it's mind-boggling. Mm-hmm.
And I think if we keep encouraging one another towards our humanity, you know, encouraging one another to care a little bit deeper for everybody's sake, because I feel for these guys. I think it's mostly men. There's some women involved too, but I do. I feel like, wow, you know, you're losing a piece of yourself. And you have to be really, really careful when that starts to happen. Anyway, so hopefully people are listening to this and they're thinking about the positions maybe they've taken, because here we are living in this is going out to predominantly rural, predominantly white, predominantly Christian, variation of Christianity. There's variations out here. Many variations, I might add. And yet there are lots of immigrant people, laborers, that are sprinkled throughout our county. And like I said before, earlier, they're our neighbors, they're our friends, and they're people that we really rely on.
Yeah, I think that's really important to uplift. They are people we rely on, you know, kind of sit back and think about that. And while that is important to kind of think about, also think about them as a human too, not just what they provide to you. You know, while that is important, what they're providing, they have the same values, they show up to work. You might care about work, being hardworking and responsible, just as they do. They want to make a paycheck to help their families. You know, they're not really doing any harm. And think about them as a human first. And if it's difficult for you to understand, or there's some tension there or something uncomfortable, try to sit with that and think about why that is, or have that conversation if you can with someone. Ask them those questions. I think if you came off in a kind demeanor and open, I think people would be willing to have those conversations.
Right. Yeah, and it's very difficult, and I would almost say impossible, to treat someone as a human being if you're not treating yourself as a human being. If you don't understand your own humanity, it's very, very difficult. But
and my mom always told me from, like, I was very young, she said, treat people the way you want to be treated. And that's something that's really stuck with me. Mm-hmm. You know, like, what? How do you want people to treat you?
Right. Your mom's a wise woman. So if you're just tuning in, this is the WDRT show, Conversations. My name is Dina Eccles. And in conversation today is Amanda Ali. And she works with Wisdom Wisconsin and the Racine Interfaith Coalition on immigration and immigrant rights. And this has been a very informative conversation. I would urge you to, if you're just tuning in, to go back to the archives and listen to it again and share it with people. Because right now, we are being heavily inundated with fear and hopelessness, really, in a lot of ways. And I don't feel that. I don't feel fear, and I don't feel, I could, but I choose not to. And I choose to not feel hopeless. And I choose that because I keep surrounding myself with good information and wonderful guests and people like Amanda. So if you are just tuning in, we still have a little bit to go here. I would say go back and listen. So Amanda, what other things should we be talking about here?
I think right now there is a lot of fear, like you mentioned. I'm glad to hear that you're not experiencing it, and maybe we can talk about that a little bit for the people that are.
Mm-hmm.
One way, especially if you're online, be careful about what you're posting, what you're contributing to online, of the misinformation. You know, fact check. If something seems, it elicits a reaction out of you, you should kind of step back and say, let me dig into this further. You know, us as an organization that has been doing this work for 30 years, we made an error, and we shared something that was inaccurate. It happens to people. It does.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay, you know, as long as you sort of hold that accountability and correct it.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, like, moving forward, you're a little bit more cautious. You know, particularly with the ICE sightings, you know, it's recommended to take pictures, if you can, of the interactions that are happening. Be sure that it actually is ICE. There is hotlines that you can report your suspicions to, and then they would go and they investigate it further before putting it out on social media. You know, Voces de la Frontera has a hotline. CASA has a hotline.
When you say CASA, C-A-S-A, CASA?
Yes.
Okay.
Forward Latino has a hotline as well. And these are groups that you can sort of go follow on Facebook if you are curious. And they post because they have the employees and the resources and the skills. And they tell you if something is credible or if it's not.
Yeah, that's really, really important. That's really important. And I have been following all three of them because slightly variations in the way they talk about things. And it's good to share their information because, again, we don't really know. We can counter a lot by just being honest and truthful and accurate. We can counter a lot of fear. I don't even travel that much. I'm pretty much on the farm, you know, that's what I do. So it's not like I'm out there going to see ICE necessarily. But when I go into the stores, when I see someone who clearly isn't white, I really go out of my way to, you know, let them know you know, I see you. I see you as a human being. I see you. I recognize you. I don't. You know, it's kind of, it would be too awkward to say, "I hope you're not fearful now" or whatever, if I don't know the person. Yeah. But just a acknowledgement, you know.
Just a smile,
yes,
you know. Just a smile, a kind smile to show that person you're, you know, you're welcoming, your warm, friendly face. That hey, you know, you don't need to be afraid of me.
Right.
You know,
right.
I see you.
Right. This is so important. I was listening to Representative Sylvia Ortiz-Velez out of Milwaukee, and she was talking about it on her, it was a show. I didn't catch the name of the show, but that she's introduced a bill to you know, try to stop raids from happening in what she called sacred spaces. So that if raids were happening, I mean, down in Milwaukee, as you know, I mean, obviously there's a lot more people of color and maybe a heightened fear. But asking for the raids not to take place in churches or schools, it's going to be a state bill. She was very eloquent, actually, and she just said, we need to stay focused on Wisconsin and, you know, helping our neighbors. So I just wanted to throw that out as something for people to look out for and support.
Yeah, I think that's so, so important. And Wisdom is definitely going to be supporting those efforts because Wisdom is a organization that is made up of people of many different faiths. We have a lot of congregation and religious leaders, imams, rabbis, pastors, and there's people impacted by this. And so I'd be curious to see how it sort of plays out, but I'm glad to see those efforts being put forth.
Right, and she was really clear about, you know, because that counter thing is, well, we're just getting rid of criminals. And she said, we have to be really careful with that. Yes, she agreed, you know, if people are criminals, whatever, understood. But she said, you have to be careful of that slippery slope because, and then she said, we've gone through this before. We've seen families separated. You know, we've seen these things happen. So, yeah, I think to be educated, I don't know, is the best way. And I guess there will be another, there's Speaker Voss is also introducing a bill that is going to counter that and basically saying that the police should work with ICE. But again, for that reason that I had mentioned earlier, when you create that fear of the local police, then you're taking away that choice that a person might have or make if they are in need, if something should have happened to them and they are in need of help, where do they turn? So I hope that that bill is not does not win, doesn't happen. So what else shall we talk about?
Should we end on a positive note of what gives me hope?
Absolutely.
I think that's always nice to end with something positive. So, of course, like you, it's meeting all these wonderful people in my work. You know, I've had some difficult times in the last couple of years with myself, with my family, challenging things that have happened. Being a Palestinian American, I also recently had to deal with a cancer diagnosis, so many different things. And it's just meeting kind-hearted people like you that open their hearts and open conversations, and they lead with empathy. That gives me hope that the world is not so bad. You know, it makes this work easy to do. It makes it easy to do meeting people like that. I have a passion for it. It's a concept rooted in my religious beliefs also. As a Muslim, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, He says, he quotes Allah or God as saying, "O my servants, I have forbidden injustice upon myself, and I have made it forbidden amongst you. So do not commit injustice."
Mm.
And, you know, that's something that I go back to. Like, I'm stepping into how my faith wants me to lead to when I'm doing this work.
And it so much shows.
Thank you.
Yeah, we've not met physically, but I do look forward to that. I do. And you're always welcome. I always end up telling people online, you're welcome to come to the farm. We would love to have you there if you ever need a break from city life. Yeah. So I thank you so much for taking the time, sharing yourself, your life, your work, which is so intertwined. Thank you for caring. Thank you for your wise words about not being part of injustice. I think people, that's a good way to leave it. So you have been listening to Amanda Ali, a wonderful example of humanity, who is working with Wisdom Wisconsin. That's wisdomwisconsin.org. And the Racine Interfaith Coalition as a digital organizer. Yes, and doing incredible work to help immigrants in our state. So thank you. This has been WDRT Show. You're welcome to go back to the archives and listen to it again. Share it, please. And most importantly, be kind to yourself so that you can be kind to others.